Your local McDonald's owners across Washington, D.C., Greater Baltimore, and Eastern Shore are committed community members who all celebrate the diversity of the neighborhoods that they serve. Black History Month is a special time to spotlight the many African American and Black individuals and organizations that have contributed to our area's growth and development. McDonald's sees, supports, and celebrates you now and all year long.
Hey guys, Greg Scheinman here. It is the Midlife Mail Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me this week and every week. I am super excited. Joining me on the show today, I've got Christopher Robbins. He is a dad, husband, writer, seeker, and founder of Soul Degree, taking life one gate at a time. What is Soul Degree? You're going to learn about it on the episode here, but let's talk about creating momentum in your life. Chris is an expert in this area. Soul Degree puts on these wilderness retreats. And the beauty of being on a Soul Degree retreat is that beauty is all around you and it provides the opportunity. It's to be both alone and together and to share that curious experience of self-discovery with a group of other men and Chris's leadership. He also hosts monthly meditations, where you can join him on the last Tuesday of every month for a moment of pause, a warm hello, and some honest conversation with other like-minded men. This is all done virtually now through Zoom. And he has a private coaching program, and it's quite remarkable how much can happen in a moment of reflection, and we can go from anxious to awestruck, from exhausted to energized, and from confused to clear. Chris talks about all of this stuff with me and with you this week on the Midlife Mail Podcast. We've got a lot to talk about today, Chris. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, it is my pleasure. First, I think it's cool. Let's point out, where are you right now? It looks like a library. Where are you sitting?
Yeah, I'd love to say these are all my own books, but I'm actually at my mom's place. She recently renovated a home in southwestern Vermont, which is actually where we're renovating our own place. But this is her new office with all of her her prized possessions. She's quite a reader, and so yeah, I'm in her library.
Very, very nice. What's that like? Okay, going back and living with mom.
You know, it's been pretty awesome, I must say. She's 80, almost 85. My dad's not with us anymore. And she's an amazing woman. She's super healthy, really active, very engaged in our kids and my brother's kids. And when I was in high school, I'm the youngest of three boys, and when I was in high school, my father got transferred to London. And so I ended up going over to London and spending 4 years where my two older brothers were already in college. So it was largely me and my mom, with my dad traveling quite a bit. And it was at that moment that we really had a special 4 years together and created probably a tighter bond than maybe some might expect between son and mother. And so actually, like, circling back many, many years later, and the house we're renovating is the one that she and my dad built. And so we bought that off of her, and she lived with us for about a year. And then once we underwent construction there or renovation, we opted to move in with her. So I will say it's been far more challenging for my wife, Mel, to be at my mom's. But myself and my youngest son, we're having a grand old time. She's actually not here right now. She's got a place down in Florida. So she chases the sun a little bit for a few months in the winter. And so we got the place to ourselves, but it's a real joy to be able to spend some time with her at this stage in her life and ours.
Very nice. You mentioned your son. How many kids do you have and what are their ages?
I have three kids. I've got a 23-year-old who just got out of college, Boston College, last spring.
Eagles.
And she's an Eagle. She's starting the real world. And then I got a 21-year-old who's a junior at USC, both daughters. And then our youngest is a 16-year-old boy.
Okay. Now where does he want to go?
Well, I don't think he gives a shit about college at the moment. The reason why we're actually up in Vermont, we've spent the last like 20 plus years just outside of Boston. But once his high school options came online, we empowered him to make a choice where he wanted to go to school. And we thought for sure he would select some school in and around Boston. And we've had an affiliation and a relationship with some folks that are connected to a public school in this area, the Manchester, Dorset, Southern Vermont area. And this school called Burn Burton Academy was literally the only place he wanted to go. And he had it top of his list. He said, I really want to go to Vermont. And it's not a boarding school. And we really didn't, because he's our youngest, we didn't want to not be in his company for his high school experience. So we listened to him and we followed him. And here we are in Vermont, sort of adopting a bit of a new change and establishing new community. And he is just so happy and so thriving in a way that he never was before. And so it's a silver lining for sure that he is, he's as stuck in as he is and enjoying high school in a way that I think any parent would hope to see their kids thriving. But yeah, college is, even though he's a sophomore, college is the farthest thing from his mind. He just got his license this morning. So the only thing he's thinking about right now is where can he go drive?
Makes sense. I've got an 18 and a 15-year-old right now. So we're in the permit stage, you know, with the 15, because you do get your license here in Texas at 16 also. And then I've got the 18-year-old where we're trying to figure out where he's going to go to school right now. That is very much top of mind.
Yeah, that's.
I'm curious how you guys made the decision. I understand that the school was at the top of your son's list. But how did you and Mel and your son even come together to make the decision that we're going to do this? As you said, follow him here. Okay, you want to go, we're going to go. Like, were there strings attached? What's the thought process? If we're going to uproot and go spend, you know, we have to now go basically live in Vermont, you know, for you.
Well, you're touching one of the third rails in our marriage. let's put it that way.
And it only took 11 minutes. Look at that.
It was honestly an absolute disaster of a choice that he made. It felt like a real snub for Mel, who is the primary breadwinner in our family. And at the time when this decision came up, she was hosting a nationally syndicated daytime television show in New York City and commuting from Boston. And the vision at that time for her was to be in New York for the next foreseeable however many years. And so the idea of Vermont was met with incredible resistance from her, as much as she wanted our son to feel supported. And we tried hard, actually, to get him to consider a school in and around our our then primary residence. And he stood fast in an empowering way, actually, not in a stubborn way, but he really was looking for a change. And, you know, we were kind of coming to the end of our time in that community anyway. Our two older daughters had already moved on and graduated from the local high school. And, but it was not without tremendous friction and thinking, you know, this is not what we want to do. And we actually still have our place just outside of Boston. So we do have two homes and two places that are workable at the moment. And one of them certainly down in Boston lends itself to some of Mel's work, at least more so to what's going on now than, you know, not having this place put together quite yet. And I think it's coming around. I mean, this COVID thing has obviously been such a discombobulating experience for all of us. And I think on many levels, the more calm and soulful Vermont versus the more frenetic Boston, New York scene is Mel sees great vision there. And it's taken some time for her. You know, for me, I went to college up here. I've been coming up here ski racing as a little kid since 73. My mom and dad built this house 20 years ago. And so Vermont is, for me, is just, it's in my blood. And so naturally for me, the decision that Oakley had made to go to this school was, you know, I was kind of like, all right, well, hey, that doesn't seem to be entirely in line with what Mel is up to, but it is only 4 years. He had had pretty crappy earlier schooling experiences. And so we really did want him to feel empowered in his choice. And so it was hard for us to go back on that when he just said, hey, this is really where I need to go and want to go. So we're still working through it, but it's feeling more and more whole and complete for all of us.
You know what really comes across in this, and by the way, we talked about this. We talked before we started this, and guys, as you're listening, if you're going to hear like little beeps that go on throughout this episode, yeah. Okay, it's either mine or it's Chris's. I don't even know because neither one of us can figure out how to turn off, you know, some of the notifications and stuff that's going on. So I'm just giving you a little glimpse into like real life, like that's what it is. We're not like pinging each other back and forth about talk about this or that. People just actually are trying to reach us, and neither one of us can figure out the technology of how to get some of it to stop. So, anybody. Can feel forever. Free to DM, email, write me or whatever to be like, hey, and I'll pass it along to Chris too. Like, this is how you get the beeping to stop because they're all Apple products and I can't figure out how to do it. So whether it's focus, do not disturb, whatever. We could do 20 minutes on that, but there you go. That's what it is. It's staying in, whatever it is. That's real. So now I have a number of questions. Yes, before I forget, okay, or maybe the dinging is the reminder for me to go back. Now I have a few questions on here. One, this is so interesting to me because both you and Mel are coaches. Mm-hmm. You are coaches at a very, very high level. And for those of you out there who are not familiar, actually, the way even you and I, Chris, first even got connected was I was introduced to Mel and her work through the guys at Three Ring Circus. These other prolific keynote speakers, Josh Linkner, Peter Sheehan, Seth Madison, and I was out in Detroit at their week-long boot camp, what they call it. And I'm very new to this game, like really new to this game. And they put this video on, and it had these other prolific keynote speakers that they know and they work with, and you got to see examples of their work and how their career scaled. That was my first introduction to Mel Robbins, this woman who comes on the screen and then basically takes over Like, it just felt like, okay, game over. Like, why are we watching anything else? Like, when you put it in comparison to all these other things, and it was prolific and it was dynamic and there was stage presence and there were sneakers and there was glasses and there was like a really good message to the whole thing. And I was like, holy shit. Okay. This is like how it works. It's kind of like they showed amateur, you know, or like novice, amateur, somebody who can make a few bucks speaking, and somebody who's off the freaking charts. And it was so obvious. So I started following Mel on Instagram, you know, after that, excuse me, and watching a lot of her videos online. And then I noticed, obviously, you know, married in the, and I clicked over, and, oh, let me find out about the man in this relationship and let me learn him. And I saw what you were doing with Soul Degree and your own coaching. And I was like, wow, this is really interesting. And at the same time that I was like checking out all of your stuff and being like, oh, I got this guy on, I think Mel was with Peter at some event or something. And she had posted something and I chimed in, or he had posted something and she said, I'm with him right now. And by the way, you really need to get in contact with Chris, or I need to introduce you to my husband. And I was like, I literally had just sent him a DM. Okay. like right before you sent this. So now I either seem like I'm stalking you or I went around. I don't know what happened.
Kismet.
Yeah. But it was like, okay, really, really, really cool. So that's kind of the connection with Mel. But as it pertains again to maybe people thinking that because we coach, you know, or the two of you coach and speak, and we have all the answers, you know, over there, or that any of these other situations, we may be able to figure them out or work through them easier or better or anything. So when you speak so candidly about the situation with Oakley, and again, as a father myself, you know, no, we don't. Like, it's just, we got to work through the same real shit as everybody else.
No answers. Yeah, for sure. Seeking answers. But yeah, I think as somebody once duly pointed out to me, two heads are better than one, unless it's a cabbage. So therein lies the power of having a coach.
Yep. One thing that kind of heads up your site, even when I went over there at Soul Degree, I want to kind of head in this direction a little bit, is why Soul Degree? Like, it's just up there at the top. Mm-hmm. Why did you start Soul Degree? You know, why do men need Soul Degree? And kind of give me the impetus for you kind of taking this on.
Well, like many things, and I think maybe based on my doing my own research of yourself, it was born out of crisis on some level. I had a pretty storied career in the corporate world, and then I got into the entrepreneurial world, and I went 10 years in the restaurant business, and it was a remarkable learning experience. There was a lot about it that went well, but it was a financial disaster, and it brought me to my knees, both physically and emotionally. And I was pretty wiped out in this loss of other people's private money and just this thing not going the way that I thought it needed to go. And so it forced me to do some soul searching, and I really just, there were a few things that started to bubble up that I realized were missing for me. One was just the power that nature and wilderness and being outside has always had on me, and that that was missing. And I've had a decent amount of experience in my past, and was on the board of the National Outdoor Leadership School and spent some time with them back in my college days, and grew up doing a lot of just hanging out outside. And so that was missing. I think also that I just had realized how serious I had become and taking things so seriously, that what I recognized was missing was just like being a boy, just fucking around in the mud and, you know, knocking sticks against trees and just laughing and being joyful like a kid. And then I think the third thing that I was feeling at that time was a sense of isolation and feeling alone, some of which was my own doing, because in my head I was, of course, I was just beating myself over the head with a bat, like that, thinking that I had really failed my family and myself and my career, but that I, you know, I am somebody who would much, much rather have a deeper conversation like this one that we're having than talk about the stuff that's on the surface. And so when I really kind of put those things together, I decided that I needed to create some sort of experience that brought together those components that got me into the woods, that got me hanging out with guys, that got me talking about things that matter, that are far more meaningful than the weather, and that I needed to do it in a way that served the people who were going to come. I didn't know who, of course, I didn't know who would come, but I had had a strong meditation practice and was trained as a meditation guide. And same thing with yoga, yoga instructor. And so these were some of the modalities that I thought, you know, I got to bring these into the woods with me to help us guys just kind of slow down and recognize the importance of hitting the pause button that I think we're horrible at doing. I think we're sort of cast from a certain mold that tells us we need to go achieve and prove and do. And I think most of the time, especially if we have, once we get married and we have kids, that our thought is that the slowdown moment is a vacation with our family, which, with all due respect to wives and kids, that's usually not where a guy can sit back and get some true me time and moments of reflection. And so this was the genesis of Soul Degree. I created this purely out of need for me, selfishly. And when people started to show up and have this experience with me, there's not been a single guy who hasn't really just spoken so highly of having chosen for themselves to put themselves in a situation that I think is kind of unusual. I think it doesn't occur to men to that either A, they need this time for their own well-being, or that taking this time is a worthy investment in themselves, because we just don't, you know, I think we can intellectually get the power of doing something like this, but actually waking up and taking action and putting a deposit down and packing your bags and going and hanging out with another dozen guys who you have no friggin' idea who they are. And there's this sort of mystery of, well, what is this thing and what am I going to be doing? And still doing it is that, you know, I think that's where the rubber meets the road a little.
Perfect your morning routine with AG1 by Athletic Greens. That is how I start my day each and every day. Now, I get asked about my morning routine all the time, and it does change from time to time, but AG1 has been the constant since 2010 for me. Every morning, 20 ounces of water, one scoop of AG1 to start my day on a positive note. It has replaced an entire cabinet of supplements for me. And this latest iteration, that's the thing I love about AG1, is they keep making the product better. This latest iteration covers a multivitamin, multimineral, prebiotics, probiotics, adaptogens, greens, and more. So I feel healthy and strong throughout the days, months, and years. When I'm traveling, I never leave home without their travel packs. And now, Athletic Greens is offering Midlife Male listeners and subscribers an exclusive deal. You get a free one-year supply of liquid vitamin D plus five travel packs with your subscription purchase. So log on, take advantage of it, and enjoy Athletic Greens AG1 every single day.
What's interesting there is that, yeah, the rubber does meet the road. And for all those guys that do it, the value that they get and the return on investment that they get. And I also always think about the guys that don't, you know, pull the trigger on it. You know, and you must get a lot of this too. These guys that get themselves 99% of the way there, you know, whether they're ready, quote unquote, 99% ready to start coaching with you or to plunk down that deposit and go on and do it. And they choose that 1%, you know, or that 1%, you know, takes over, you know, somehow trumps the 99, you know, and they don't do
well,
it. And
not
they,
only that, but the guys that do show up, most of them are quick to acknowledge that even the night before, despite their gung-ho attitude about it, are kind of packing their bags thinking, what the fuck am I doing here? Like, why am I even doing this?
Yeah, I'm paying this guy what, and I'm going where, or I'm starting this for that. But right. I mean, there are so many good points that you made along the way. And maybe I'll work backwards a little bit. And I'll work backwards towards even your identity. You know, where you talked about a storied corporate career into the restaurant hospitality business, success or failure. I think those two are, quite frankly, so close in entrepreneurship. You know, the difference between success and failure. You could be, I had a book title for a while that I was going with, like, Michael Eisner bought my business and then I successfully failed, which was like, okay, this high profile student partnership that did everything. And all that ended up happening was that I was so great at fucking this up. Like that's what I was great at, you know, as it transpired. But I think there's all different degrees of success and failure and they're so close together. But entrepreneurship is a very exclusive club. Whether you succeed or fail, you just tried. Like those that have done it, you know, and have gone forward with it, makes it an exclusive club that not everybody can be a part of. So if you could, and I'll work backwards into this, one, I love what you talked about on the family vacation. I started to chuckle in there because again, family of four, two boys, like for years and years of my life, high pressure career out there, the standard couple of vacations a year where you don't relax really at all. They take you out of the office that you don't think you can leave or they're not going to survive, you know, without you. I think statistically or the studies say it takes you like 3 days, you know, to like actually finally relax. And it's like by the third day, like we're on the downslope. We're almost home, you know, from this. And you think about how much everything costs, you know, wherever you go, you fly back from these vacations, or I called them trips because they weren't really vacations. There's a difference between a vacation and a trip. Most of our stuff was a trip, regardless of the locale, because a lot of it falls on the guy. Like it really does. Setting up the accommodations, the activities you do, trying to be the best father you possibly can, trying to be the best husband you can, not wanting to hold anybody back from doing anything or buying anything or doing it. We're on vacation. And then you get on that flight back and you're like, for me, like I was like a mess, like always flying back. How much did we spend? Like I got to go back to work the next day. What's going to be there for me? Like you always say you need a vacation from your vacation.
Sure.
When you were like this. So having outlets like what you provide with Soul Degree, I think is so valuable where
Again, it's nice to not like almost know what you're getting into. Just know what you're not getting into. What you're not getting into is what you're used to. And what you're used to is really hard. You know, also, yes, you like being with your family, but I need a break from this too. I need to focus on some me time there. Who showed up to the first one?
Oh, man. I had a really eclectic mix. I think my youngest was 22 and my oldest was 62. And that age range created just some awesome diversity of perspective and energy and sort of joie de vie from the younger folk and wisdom from the older folk. Some of them were my own friends, you know, because of course I would, I'd invite them knowing that I was putting this on and I'd love to be in their company for, you know, the 4 or 5 day run. So
hang on that one for a second. I'm curious, inviting your own friends. 'Cause now this was taking me to where I wanted to go. Your identity. And how you made an identity shift or concerned about what other people think and or your friends or anything else, going from this corporate guy, successful corporate guy, even in the food and restaurant business. Now I'm going to go in the woods. I'm going to go in the woods and I'm going to go host these things. It's one thing that I got my yoga and my meditation certificates and everything. And you can tell me whether that was, you know, hobby or something you wanted really to pursue in there, but now you're changing your whole identity. What? You're changing your whole outlook and perspective. Did you lose friends over that too?
You know, I didn't lose friends, no. In fact, I think what I learned, I mean, there was some nervousness on my part bringing friends, wondering what they would think or what would get exposed. And it's an excellent question. I think looking back on it, what happened with those guys that I did know was that the friendship deepened, which maybe just saying it out loud sounds like that's what you would expect, but it's not necessary. Not that I expected it to go sideways, but I think what I came to realize is just that we're really good at hiding what goes on up in our head. And not that we're intentionally withholding that stuff that's really going on in our mind, but that it's not knee-jerk for us to put it out there and really say what's going on or really how we're feeling or really what we're thinking. And naturally, that is what occurs on any given soul degree retreat. And so I think things got shared that were revealing about my true character and the true selves of the other guys on the trip, which therein lies the power of the experience, is that people, I think, universally express having rediscovered a sense of their own true self in a way that they could find for themselves as opposed to being told about it or directed to it. And I think that's also part of the reason why the format is sort of, you know, could you do this in a weekend? Well, yeah, sort of. But to your point about vacations coming and going, and then by the time you're over, I think you need some real time to truly get away and feel like you can take some meaningful deep breaths that have a physiological benefit.
You mentioned the age range on that first one. You know, I think also one thing to point out is this is also another element, another degree, if you will, of entrepreneurship. You know, you came out of one venture and said, I'm going to start another venture. And this is what it's going to be with Soul Degree. This is what I'm going to do you know, now this is who I am. I think there's a market for this, a need for this for myself, which I hope also appeals to other men, you know, that are out there. Is there an archetype or archetypes that you see now, having done this for a while, the type of men that gravitate towards what you're doing and actually who do sign up and come? Do they come back even again? Do they bring a friend with them? Do they evolve into coaching and working with you? How does this, how does it work?
Well, I don't know that there, I guess the only, identity feature, if you will, of people that show up, are people that really want to be there. And that's what makes the experience so incredibly powerful, is that they're there by choice. And anybody that, I mean, there's lots and lots of women out there that recommend this idea to their loved ones or brothers or spouses or what have you. And, you know, as soon as a guy feels like somebody else thinks he needs this, it's over. It's like, fuck that. I'm not doing that thing. And so I think that what's cool about it is that there's this process of self-selection where the people that ultimately do show up really believe for themselves that taking some of this time, stepping away, investing in themselves, giving thought to wherever they are in their lives, and seeking objective perspective. You know, this is not therapy. This is not coaching. Even though I am a coach, there's no coaching that goes on Soul Degree. Nobody is there with the answers. I am as much of a participant as the next person. And I say that honestly, because, you know, my life is always changing. I got shit going on. I need to do the inner work just as much as the next guy. So, you know, when the green light goes off and this thing starts up, I'm in the chair shoulder to shoulder with the other 12 men. And so I think that there's a desire amongst these guys to peel back the onion, if you will, for themselves. You know, some people show up with already having taken an interest in self-study. I don't really, you know, the term personal development or self-improvement or what have you, I don't really buy it. I think it's just more self-study is really what it is. And I think that whether the guys know it or not, they have a curiosity, either fully tapped or not yet tapped, to dive into that in a more substantial way. And yeah, I think you got to be psyched about, you know, hiking mountains and getting muddy and trying, you know, if you've never done yoga or you've never tried meditation or things like this, you know, writing, journaling, stuff like that. I mean, I think there's a curiosity and a willingness amongst men to want to give that a go if they have not done a lot of that. And I also think that the other thing that's probably somewhat consistent is, you know, that I would say that while that age range in the first go around was pretty broad, it tends to be more like 35 to 55. And while a 55-year-old may be staring down the barrel of, you know, what he's going to do after he finishes his work, although maybe less so these days since we all seem to be working far longer. But I think that question of, you know, that midlife question, which I know you touch upon all the time, which is kind of, I mean, it's phrased in so many different ways, but it's like, is this all there is, or is there something else, or, you know, what is purposeful for me
in either what I've been up to or what I want to be up to. And so I think that's another consistent thread, is that people, the guys showing up, you know, some may be in crisis, but it's really not like a crisis hotline by any stretch. I think I encourage people to bring whatever's real and going on in their lives so that they've got real, you know, meat to chew into and work on, if you will. Because if you're going to come and take this time, you might as well be intentional about it. Otherwise, I think you'd be wasting your time. And so I think those are some of the common themes. And yeah, some people come back for sure. They bring friends. This is not like my platform to try to like lead people into coaching programming. You know, I'm not there at the end saying, okay, now that you've done this, like you can buy into the next, like, forget that. I think if you're inspired to carry on with the conversation that goes on while on retreat, and there's a desire to take it into maybe a more formal format, sure. But that's not the intent. I think, truthfully, the friendships that get created on these trips are really where it's at. And that's what people take away from the trips and what they want to continue to build upon too, either with the folks that they've been on retreat with, or just having learned some of the, I don't know, the tricks or the not really tricks, but just how do you go cultivate that brotherhood and that sense of belonging in your own community? Cause that's where it's all happening for us. I mean, you're in Houston and I'm up in Vermont or Boston or wherever. And I think that's ultimately what a lot of guys are psyched to get a stronger handle on, which is how do I go build my own social fabric in a way that is consistent with what my interests are and what I'm into, and not just following either my wife or, you know, the fathers who coach the same, you know, soccer team that I'm like, yeah, those guys might be great and everything, but they, you know, they might not be your people.
I love human improvement protein. It's that simple. It is the easiest to digest protein powder on the market. And that is what I look for. I need a protein powder that is easy to digest, that leaves me feeling satiated, not heavy, bloated, weighed down, and gassy. At 50 years old, I don't need that. At any age, I don't think anybody needs that. I have tried a lot of protein powders, and I have landed on Human Improvement as the very best out there. It's the easiest to digest protein. It's formulated to be non-bloating with 5 times the gut health support. It is a blend of superfoods, plant-based protein, and cricket protein that delivers all of our essential amino acids and is perfect for post-workout recovery, building and maintaining lean muscle, all-day energy, and satiating hunger. Check it out, buyhigh.co. Use promo code MIDLIFEMALE. You're going to save 15%. Go for it.
Now, I identify with that a lot. I think that we fall, I don't know if victim is the right word, but we fall into that trap of, you know, accepting our surroundings in a way, or thinking that those are the only options because those are the ones that are most available or most readily available. Again, where our kids go to school, and who the other parents are that are there, who our colleagues and coworkers are, or even our clients. Who again are the other dads, you know, on the teams that our kids are playing on. Okay, well, where else do we go if those are not also always the right fit, you know, for us? And I think what's really interesting now is this opportunity, in a way, even, you know, not necessarily just because of COVID or the pandemic, but just because opportunities that have been created
to go on retreats, to take these trips, to be able, you know, technology has a lot of advantages in this way too, that you can associate and affiliate and find like-minded individuals anywhere and go be a part of that community, be a part of that brotherhood, make a relationship and get out from where you are, have these other experiences, maybe have a tighter bond, you know, in a way, only also maybe know each other one way, which is through this, and then go back. Like I've got some of my closest friends are the ones in a way that don't live anywhere near me. We have very specific interests and things that we like to do. We meet up for them. We do it. We go back, live our lives. We know we're still living that way. Mm-hmm. I don't honestly really have to talk to them. Like they're constantly on my side. So if I talk about, they haven't met my wife, they haven't met my kids. So it's nice to have them just on my side. They only get my side. I get their side, you know, also. Yeah. And I just think that there's, you know, there's a lot to that, that also, at least I found, helps me focus in a way on what's important to me when I come back to my world and my life and have these experiences and opportunities and things to look forward to that I, for me at least, put on the calendar. Mm-hmm. Monthly, quarterly, saying, look, these are the things that I look forward to doing and I schedule them and I invest in them deeply and I plot them out, you know, through the rest of 2022 or beyond to say, this is when we're going to hike this and this is when I'm going to go on this experience. And this is, and so I have to make X amount of dollars, quite frankly. We've got to work around the rest of the family's calendar, time, health, preparation, everything. And I think having things to look forward to really gives you a lot of purpose and gives you a lot of identity. And for a lot of guys, that's been lost. They just go through the motions. Every day is kind of the same. They're reactive instead of proactive. Mm. Hey, honey, when's school vacation? Oh, okay, great. That's when we're going away. Okay. You know, that's when I put in my request to take a few days off, you know, or maybe I try to work like I did this for a while. Oh, let me work my renewals around that. Like I can't have renewals around this time because that's when we typically go away, you know, or that's when this is or something like that. And you get into this pattern in there. So I just think it's really, I think it's great. And I think it's refreshing to have more options and opportunities. And I try to tell people, something that you do very simple. Whatever you're looking for exists. You just got to be willing to go out there and find it and do it.
Yeah. And I think you also need to be willing to ask for it. Whether it's asking your wife or your employer. I mean, there's no better time to be making requests of your employer than today, because while it's a great job market, I think, you know, people are already acquiescing to the demands employees are making about where they want to work or when they want to work, or, and so to be able to identify some of these things that you think will make a difference for you in your own personal and professional life and making the ask, it's a good time to do it.
I'm going to ask you about the ask. There are a few things I hear a lot about this too, in terms of I'm big on making the ask. The question is, am I asking for forgiveness? Am I asking for permission? Am I asking for support? Am I making a demand? Lots of ways to make an ask. I hear a lot of this when it comes to also to making that decision, whether it's on coaching again, or to spend that money, that expense versus investment, or which lens are you looking at it on? Do I go on that experience or that retreat? I've got to ask my wife, you know, or I've got to check with so-and-so. Okay. How are you making that ask? What's the dynamic of that relationship? To go, either get permission, forgiveness, support, how are you to empower you in a way to get what you want, you know, out of it. Do you see that too? Like, do guys get off the phone with you or they inquire about it and then it's, can't make this decision on my own, Chris. I gotta go ask this person or this person or do this.
Well, I think that's sort of a reality a little bit, just given the time frame that's being asked of you. I mean, to...
How many days is it, by the way, just so we put that?
It's
how
long? 4 nights, 5 days.
Okay, cool. Go on.
So, yeah, I mean, I think out of pure respect of your family, your spouse, you gotta clear that deck anyway. And I suppose the same thing for work. But I think what's, it's interesting how you frame it, you know, the support or the forgiveness or what have you. I actually think it is support, but inherent in deciding that the way you're going to ask for something like this is to seek support implies that there's things you want to go work on. And that is our Achilles heel often, because we're supposed to be brave and macho and tough and not have any issues. I think we're reluctant to admit that there are things we may want to go work on. And so that holds us back from, I suppose, coming at it from the angle of, hey, I think I need support here. I want to go do this thing. Will you support me in doing it, whether it's your employer or your family or otherwise?
How do you prepare for these experiences? You mentioned earlier that you're an active, you know, participant in it. Did it take you time to also go from feeling like, or maybe you never did, or I'm running this thing, you know, or I'm performing, I'm leading this. They've made this investment, you know, into me and coming out here, to being able to, and are you able to really enjoy being an active, you know, participant? You know what I'm saying? Like, do you feel like you're on stage, you know, you're during this? Like, I get that part. Hey, you hired me to come out and do a keynote, right? You know the business very well. I come out, I do my keynote. Wonderful. Boom. You're out there, you know, 4 days now, five nights. Yeah, or 5 days, four night, whatever, which way the math works out. I'm not that bright on it, but you're an active participant. Like, what do you feel like your expectation is maybe in this?
I think that if anything, it goes the other way, in that I sit there and experience my own roller coaster of emotion. And I'm a pretty, like, I could cry on, you know, just a drop of the hat. And so often I find myself in tears, either out of empathy or compassion or, and then I start to question, like, well, hey, if you're, is that the emotion you should be showing here? Aren't you supposed to be the guide, if you will? And, so there's probably more often where I like have my doubts about whether or not I'm delivering, so to speak. And, but the preparation, so there is homework, if you will, or for lack of a better term, there's pre-work that I give to everybody maybe 6 or 8 weeks prior to coming on to this thing. And it's a series of very thought-provoking, open-ended questions that are intended to really get the wheels turning in your own head. And so that when you do show up, there really is, the pump is primed, and there's a desire and a willingness to want to get into it. And I do that work myself every time. So I suppose that the preparation is less about me thinking that I've got to have all my T's crossed and I's dotted. And I mean, yeah, things like the food and the logistics and all that stuff. Sure. I don't outsource any of that. This is, you know, I'm not like my wife in that this is a smaller fry operation that is far more passionate and intimate and driven largely by myself. And so, yeah, I work those things out, but I think that I'm doing the preparation myself. And I think what's really super cool about it is that even in the lead up and conversing with the men that have elected to come on any given trip, I take the time to want to have these kinds of calls with them to find out what are they thinking? What are their own expectations? What are they coming to work on?
And naturally, inside of hearing what's going on for them, there are light bulbs going off for me, thinking, oh, yeah, you know, I hadn't really thought about that piece of my life, or whether that is something I should put on my put on my own list. So it's refreshing in that regard, because that's where the popcorn effect takes over and everybody gains value from, you know, somebody could be coming in and saying, you know, I really need to work on my gambling addiction. And they gain some clarity around that by hearing about somebody talk about something related to the death of their father. Like, who knows? It's you don't need two guys showing up with gambling addictions to feel like you're gonna work out or whatever the thing is, you know. It's
have you changed, or what have you learned about the experience or the programming of the experience itself when you're out there? Like, when you were first setting this up, did you role play it out? You know, did you bring a couple of guys out there? Did you think we should have this or have that? And has it evolved and changed, you know, throughout?
Not really. It really hasn't. I mean, it's been pretty organic. I think it's the programming, if you will, or the way in which some of these conversations get teed up. Some are structured and we're circling up and we're asking specific questions of ourselves. Some are more unstructured, you know. It's certainly like using the trail and doing a bunch of the hiking that we do, nothing crazy, but using the trail as a backdrop to dive deeper with the guys that are on the trip. These are all, intended to be very organic and natural in the way people choose to go after them. And that's why I always say to guys, you know, some people have an expectation. Well, what am I going to get out of this? You know, I'm going to pay X number of dollars, and what's going to be my deliverable? It's like, well, I hate to say it, but it's like what you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. So if you're sitting over there in a corner with your arms crossed and not really willing to roll up your sleeves, then you're cheating yourself, because you're not giving yourself the fair shake that your time deserves. But you're also just not going to, you know, you're not going to get your bang for your buck. And so, it's definitely, you know, getting back to the self-motivation piece. I think you gotta be really psyched to want to throw your hat in the ring. And, I have not seen anybody not do that. You know, some people show up, they haven't necessarily done all the quote pre-work, but it doesn't take long before people are kind of like, okay, I get this and I'm psyched to be here.
I've been learning about TRT for the past several years. And as someone who's consistent and disciplined with his health, physicals, blood work, I have seen my testosterone decrease annually throughout my 40s. And I am now in my 50s. Last year, I made the decision, along with my physician and my family, to go on TRT. I was lacking energy compared to where I used to be. I wasn't recovering the way I used to, wanted to, and needed to in order to maintain the lifestyle I live. I was stressed, and I was anxiety-ridden, and I was frustrated. And I have carefully tracked my progress throughout the past year. And after researching various options, providers, and services available, I transitioned to using Hone Health, and I feel like myself again. Now, I've discussed, considered, and looked at every stigma, stereotype, concern, issue, pro, con, positive, negative, connotation, reputation, and whatnot. And I'm sure that there are some that I have missed. And I am an open book here at Midlife Mail and with myself. And I will share my experience and my advice, thoughts and considerations with anyone who wants to hear it, learn from it, accept it, or ignore it. And for me, it's never been about getting jacked, winning any competitions, or getting ahead in any way other than in my everyday life. It is, though, about being the best husband, father, and provider I can be for as long as I can be, the way that I want to be. And I simply wanted to have my energy, acuity, focus, smile, and health back to where it was and where I expect it to be. And Hone has guided me and provided me with everything I have needed along the way. And because of this, I am proud to partner with Hone Health. I believe in the team, the service, the product, and the mission. And I believe in what Hone is doing every day, what they've done for me, and what they can do for other midlife males to help them live better, stronger, healthier, and happier lives. So if you're interested in learning more about Hone Health, go to honehealth.com/midlifemale. You can order your at-home test and consultation. So if you're interested in learning more about Hone Health, go to honehealth.com/midlifemale to order your at-home test and consultation and save $15. You mentioned earlier, almost back at the top of our conversation, casually, and you know, Mel is kind of the breadwinner of the family, and this was tough about, you know, doing the TV show in New York, which could go on, and we Boston, then going up to Vermont. And we talk about, you know, you've got 12 guys that you take on this trip, and you're sitting here and you're talking to me. Like, you're a pretty chill guy, you know, it seems to be. You know, pretty knows who he is, pretty chill guy, laid back, 12 guys, me going out on this stuff. And then, you know, you've kind of also a couple, not like Mel, who's doing this, you know, I prepare the food myself and doing that. Walk me through, give me a little glimpse of that dynamic also. You know, again, you can, both of you very successful in your own way, obviously co-parenting, you know, married couple. How many years has it been? Also?
25.
Congratulations. So we just celebrated 20, Kate and I, together for 25, but 20, you know, 20 married. Also, I would like to think very different, you know, as people also. But walk me through this dynamic a little bit that you're on the, I'm going to take 12 guys, I'm going to prepare the food, and maybe on this other end, you're going to knock out like 50,000 people, you know, in front of this whole thing and just go and cameras. And I get an email and a video every day and they're all fantastic, but it's a ton. You know, it's a ton.
With respect to what we both juggle. I think that they are very different in both the pursuit and the formats. I think they're very, they're reflective of our personalities in that Mel is somebody who is high energy and really just, loves to be in the whirlwind of it all and feeds off of that. And I am somebody who it's not that I am fearful of getting in front of 50,000 people, but I don't, that's not where I get my, like, I would much rather be having a one-on-one or, you know, a more intimate conversation. And that's where I get my energy. And I'm definitely more introverted. Mel's definitely more extroverted. And so I think the things that we are both pursuing are consistent with our personalities. But it's not been without its, I mean, there's been, you've touched another third rail. It's not been without its challenges, just us going through that pendulum swing. I mean, we, in our early marriage, we were both dual income and scraping away and trying to get it done. And, you know, some years I was making more and some years she was, and we were just complete ham and egg. And then the kids came along and it just turned into a, you know, an omelet. Like, it was just a shit show, honestly, where we're just trying to piece it all together. And there was a moment where we made a conscious decision of Mel focusing more on her own career and the money, for lack of a better term, and me being the guy that focuses more on the home and the kids. And that was a challenging period in our marriage. Not because she wasn't amazing about it, but because I was hung up on it. You know, I had my own stigma, like a guy does. Like, I would be taking a kid to the doctor at 2 o'clock on a Tuesday, thinking I was just a complete failure, that was not representative of somebody that is, quote, a success, and not recognizing that, honestly, there was more satisfaction inside of doing that than there would have been necessarily in thinking that it was my job to bring home the bacon. And that's my working title, by the way, from success to satisfied. but it took some time. It took some real time for me to embrace that and also, like, be okay with doing something like Soul Degree that honestly brings me so much joy and so much satisfaction, but there's no money in it. Like, I'm not doing it for the money. I try to make it as accessible as I can to people so that it's affordable and be able to create a good experience. But this is not about me trying to build a livelihood. I mean, I do 2 or 3 of these retreats a year, maybe 4 if I'm lucky. But otherwise, this is about creating space for men so that, honestly, the payment that I get is the friendships that get built.
I think it's a great way to look at it. And I think there are so many different ways to be successful. And I love what you're talking about here about the working title, Success to Satisfied. I think we do. I think we get hung up on what these maybe more common, you know, or more popular definitions of success are. And what gets lost in that is, again, are we satisfied? Are we happy? And I also appreciate that you touched on You touched on the financial aspect or money aspect of it because it is important. And maybe we're in a position now to do things because we want to do them, not necessarily just because we have to do them in there. And to what degree does money really play a role? How much do we need, you know, again, to be satisfied, you know, and be successful? I think a lot of us have faced those decisions. I think there are a lot of guys that are facing those decisions, and some, unfortunately, are trapped, you know, into a lifestyle in a way. Maybe they're not as trapped as they think they are. I don't know, there's a way. But kids, spouses, overhead, they are the ones bringing home the bacon, the private school tuitions or the upcoming colleges or the whatever, and there hasn't been an exit and they don't see a transition or of how they're going to go do this or keep up with it. So they go, look, I have to do things for the money. I can't just quit my job and follow my passion. That would be galactically irresponsible based on the situation, you know, that I'm in. Or I don't have a spouse that is the breadwinner or one that could go off willingly and say, you know, I'm going to go in this direction, you know, and really make this, and I can make this work, you know, and you can do that. I put myself on, I'm in that category too. I mean, Kate's amazing as a mother, however, and running our household, but I got to earn I earn the income on that.
Right.
Pros and cons to that too.
Well, and I think so much of it is just, at least it's taken me the better part of my life to figure it out. But
and this is not to say that we are just our environment or our parents or the DNA that we were born into. Yes, that's important and it does shape a lot of our character, but what we're exposed to is, you know, I know that for me, you know, my role model was my father, and my father suited up and he went to the office and, you know, sat behind a big desk on a glass-walled corner office on the 42nd floor in Manhattan and was a big advertising guy. And I think now that he's no longer with us, I think I've come to realize that he wasn't really that happy, but he did, quote, provide a lot by way of, you know, monetary value. And I just naturally thought that that's what you do. That's what was my purpose in life. And I think that that's a tricky one, because I do think that we can get on a path that we don't even know we're on, or we don't even know we've erroneously chosen, because we're a little like, you know, just the lemming, like just following the role model in front of us, whoever that, whether it's the uncle or the brother or the father or whoever, the guy on television who we think we need to be like. And yeah, so it's, I know for me, that's what caused a lot of, I mean, sure, there was some success along the way for me, and plenty of failure, but I couldn't deal with the failure very well, because I thought that that was not okay.
it's with that regard, it's okay. Embrace failure. It's okay to fail, and only until it happens to you, you know, until it happens to you over and over again, you know, also. Sure. But I definitely identify with your point, and I know that a lot of guys do, as far as following this path, or not even knowing that they're on this path. They're just going through their lives, their motions, from graduation to the first job to the next job. They're just, and I hear, you know, I just kind of like woke up one day or looked in the mirror one day, and like 15 years have gone by. I'm like, what am I doing? And you started with, what am I doing? Is this it? How did I get here? Mm-hmm. I fell into some of this stuff, you know, I fell into this line of work or this career, and then I had a little bit of success, and then I kept going, and then we had the kids, and then this fell off a cliff, and I had to start, you know, so I followed the next guy that was closest, you know, that I looked upon and did it. And it becomes that period. I think every guys reach it at different ages and different stages. You know, we talked about crisis, and I talk about midlife a lot, and we've discussed it a little bit too. But I know, again, some really old 30-year-olds, and I know some really old 60-year-olds also. Yeah. Yeah. So I think the age aspect of it is somewhat of a number, and then there's your actual age, or your quote-unquote inner age, you know, how you're acting, how you're performing. You know, are you having any fucking fun, you know, out there at all? Are you just on this path and you're not even sure how you got there? Or can you break from that and say, okay, I need to step outside that, figure out who I really am, kind of what makes me work, what feels right and feels authentic. And it's also just nice to know that there are outlets like the one that you're providing with this old degree that are available to guys that are wanting to work on this stuff. Mm-hmm. And know that other guys are working on it as well. Mm-hmm. And that you're not just handing a playbook out going, exactly, here's how exactly it is.
Right.
And it's all going to be fine, you know, from here. This, we're going to go out here and 5 days later, everything is going to be changed. And here's steps 1 through 10. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work like that.
Nope.
No. Chris, thank you so much for doing this. I learned a lot, you know, from these conversations. I hope you guys out there, you know, do as well. When we bring this stuff to you, we touched, Great. There's a lot of stuff for women out there. No doubt about it. Nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. How we bring more things into the lives of guys and men that are out there. And I think, you know, let them see some things through a different lens is really important. So thank you for what you do.
Well, thank you. I mean, you, to your point, you yourself are creating the space for this kind of a conversation. So appreciate you inviting me into it and to share a little sliver.
Well, I look forward to being in Vermont one day on one of these Soul Degree retreats out there in Vermont. I think the last time I was in Manchester, Vermont, or stuff, I think it used to be a big tennis tournament out there.
Yes, you're right. Right up at Stratton.
Yeah. At Stratton. So where I grew up on Long Island and in New York, I was a big tennis player, you know, growing up. So that was something that we did as a family, was get up there and go
watch Connors and McEnroe and all the old greats. Yeah.
All of those guys. Those guys were Port Washington, Long Island Tennis Academy guys that came up through that. And not only that, there was a large contingent of South African tennis players that for years would come in to play the U.S. Open. They'd play for miles and they didn't have anywhere to stay. He was just going to kind of the lower ranked guys. They would register with the United States Tennis Association, off topic story, but they would stay in my town in Great Neck because a lot of these families had tennis courts in their backyard. I don't know. They were the same surface as the US Open. So the families would house them. Yeah. And these guys could have access to a practice court because they weren't high enough ranked to get good practice court times and everything. All these guys had to qualify. So we got friendly with a lot of these South African tennis players. Where I'm going with this is they would play Vermont also. They had to play everything to make a living on the tour. They'd play every tournament, singles, doubles, mixed doubles, whatever they could get into to make enough to keep going and out there. So that's how I got to Vermont, was to go watch a bunch of these guys also go play up there.
Well, yeah, that's the neighborhood where we host a few of these. There'll be two in June this year. And I hope you'll join us. If not Vermont, we're doing one in Hawaii in October.
I've never been to Hawaii, but I will definitely be checking this out. Chris Robbins, thank you so much. How do people find you? How do they learn more about what you're doing?
Souldegree.com is where we're at online, Soul Degree on Instagram. The.ChrisRobbins is my personal account on Instagram. But you'll find Soul Degree on Facebook as well.
Awesome. Guys, go check it all out. You heard it here, Midlife Male Podcast. If you like what you have heard on the show, please give us the 5-star rating, leave us the nice review, share the program with your friends, subscribe to the weekly newsletter, follow guys like Chris, keep the Midlife Male movement growing. Chris Robbins, thank you so much.
Thank you, Greg.
If you're interested in coaching and taking this conversation deeper so that you can achieve your personal and professional goals, be sure to head over to midlifemail.com and check out the Work With Me page to explore options.
When you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a click away. Order online and pick up at your local store. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Oh, oh.